TV.
Okay, look, you know, I don't want to upset anyone who believes in big government, who believes that government should take care of people. There are people who actually trust government and who think that government is smart enough to know how you should live. I'm of the opposite disposition. If you want to call it politics, you can. I tend to call it human nature, common sense, and scripture. My so-called politics is dictated by those three things: human nature, common sense, and scripture. Any political disposition or political system that most closely aligns with human nature, common sense, and scripture, well, guess where I'm going to be? That's where I'm going to be. And of course, I'm not a big government guy because I'm not a big theology guy. I'm not a big religion guy. Do I believe in big religion? Do I believe that we ought to be streaming into giant churches and asking the priests and the pastors how we should live and to submit ourselves to their authority and teach us about God? Hell no. This is why I'm always shocked when somebody in the body of Christ who has been disabused of big religion still believes in big government. It's just shocking to me. I don't understand, because it's totally inconsistent. It's like they've got this revelation in the spiritual world. Oh my God, it's an individual and God. It's my personal relationship with God. It's about my conscience, my God-given conscience. It's about the faith God has given me, all these things being gifts. And yet, when they transfer over to the political world, they trust politicians. I don't trust any politician, but I do like politicians that get out of the way of the people, that enact policies that make government smaller and less intrusive, and that support lawfulness, which is, again, just common sense. So, you know, nobody does anything perfectly. I know some people don't like when I delve into politics, but, you know, the MC in front of MCTV is Martin Zender. So I'm just going to dedicate one show to answering a comment, a criticism made about my show yesterday by someone named Tony. And it's okay, because MZ stands for Martin Zender, because this is my show and I can say what I feel to say, what I feel God is pushing me to say. It also means that I'm subject to criticism, and I accept it. I sometimes think the criticism is unfounded. Other times I take it and I think, oh, thank you. You know, be nice if you can. And Tony was nice. Tony L.A. Doke Guy. I don't understand the whole thing. It's Tony La Doke Guy or L.A. Doke Guy, but I'll just call him Tony. And he made a comment beginning this way: I tend to avoid your videos where you feel compelled to somehow connect scripture to your right-wing political views. Okay. Well, I'm not a right-winger and I'm not a Republican. You can't put me in a box that way. Again, my political disposition is based on human nature, common sense, and scripture. And I'm going to talk about that today, and only today, because some people might be interested, and it plays into the topic we've been discussing, which is reward for work. And obviously, when we're talking about reward for work, we're not talking about salvation. Now, in the kingdom evangel and the Israel evangel, we are, because there is rewards. There are rewards given for work, and the reward is aeonian life. In the kingdom evangel, your aeonian life is based on you enduring to the end. Your forgiveness of your sins is based on you forgiving other people. And so with the parable of the 10 virgins, readiness for the kingdom depended on having oil in your lamp. It was a parable for having a spirit, for tending to spiritual things. The book of Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't crucify the Son of God afresh by trying to dig up things God did in the past. All these things that the Israelites have to do for aeonian life. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to do anything for aeonian life. We are saved by grace. But God knows that there's competitiveness in human nature. And I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. Tomorrow is also going to be an unusual show. Today's an unusual show. Tomorrow will be an unusual show. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about this work and what God has done with it. It's a miracle. The miracle of this work. I don't know what I'm going to title it yet, but I'm going to give you some insight into the work, some insight into me personally, and your role in all of this, and how Paul would be freaking pleased with us for working, for heralding, for evangelizing in an unprecedented way. And that's a bold statement. I'm going to follow that up tomorrow. But today, I want to comment on Tony's comment. I have nothing against Tony's. He loves me. He loves the show. I love him. I don't know who it is. I don't know if I've ever met. I might have met. I really do apologize if I quote people from the comments and I don't realize if I've met them or not. I don't want anyone to be offended. I'm just not too quick in that department. But also, people use weird names like Tony L.A. Doke Guy, Doc Guy, LaDoc Guy, whatever, 8985. I forgot the 8985 part. So, today, it's about politics. And my politics, again, are based on human nature, common sense, and scripture. Let's dig into it. Well, I will make this statement as I clear my throat and take the podium. My politics, this is something I wrote today. I think it'll be helpful before I read Tony's comment. My politics is that common sense and human nature do align with scripture. Good work is rewarded. Yeah, that's the topic we've been talking about, the reward of good work. And in Paul's gospel, that reward is not aeonian life, but since God, that's where I left off, yeah. Since God knows we're competitive and we like to work, he accommodates that. He makes room for awards, for prizes, for trinkets, for baubles, bangles, and bright, shiny beads. Isn't that gracious of him? Paul calls it competing together in the faith. Oh, yeah, Paul's a competitor. Good work is rewarded. So there is one of my political principles, the reward of good work. Not the punishment of good work, not the uber taxation of good work. And I believe that when you snooze, you lose. The 10 virgins, they were all asleep, but 5 of them were asleep without having the proper oil. The other 5 were asleep, but they had oil right next to their pillows. Somebody said, the bridegroom's here. Off they went, grabbed their oil, the 5 prudent ones, the 5 foolish ones didn't. You snooze, you lose. And that's the way it is with works either being burned up or getting a wage for your works. Again, it's not related to salvation. And no matter how many times I read the scripture, apparently there are only 2 people. Why am I going to all this trouble for 2 people? I don't know. I guess because this work and reward thing is near and dear to my heart because I love to work for the sake of the evangel. And I'm not doing it so that I will get a reward. Honest to God. Let me make that clear. I should have made that clear days ago. I'm not doing this to get a reward. I'm not doing this to get a wreath. I'm not doing this to get a prize. There is prize and there is a wreath. Happy are the feet. I have happy feet, not because I run in minimalist shoes, but because happy are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. That's why my feet are happy. I bring an evangel of good. So I have rewards in this life, but that's not why I do it. I do it because I'm compelled. I must do it. Like the Apostle Paul said, woe to me if I do not do it. I have to do it. And it has cost me in many ways. But I know that I'm storing up for myself treasure in heaven, just like Jesus said. I think that is a transadministrational truth. So I like to think that. If it's not true, am I good with it? Yeah, because I'm a slave of Christ. What was Paul's reward in this life? He got his head chopped off. What's his reward in the next life? Can't wait to see it. Ashley, who is Volleyball Life, that's her name in the comments. And Aaron Seamster, I think they're the only two who think that the most ineffectual person in the body of Christ will get the same reward as Paul. Reward-wise. And it's just salvation. That's it. There's nothing more than salvation. You're all saved. Paul's saved. Goofy over here is saved. Everybody's saved. That's what Ashley, Volleyball Life, and Aaron Seamster think. And again, I believe they're on the political left because this aligns, this disdain of reward for work aligns with that political disposition. So no, we are not under this work and reward system for salvation, but good works is rewarded above and beyond salvation. As far as the political left, if you snooze, you don't lose. If you snooze, don't worry. We'll rob the awake people who are doing things and will give their money to you and will fan the flames of your victimhood so that you'll keep voting for us. That I don't like that. The power of the left comes from class warfare, class envy. They fan the flames of class envy. They want you to envy the rich, to hate the rich. And they promise to punish the people who have done better than you. It will make you feel good about yourself. How? By doing more work, by striving to be something better? No. By you getting the money that the evil rich people earned. I don't like that. It's not in accord with human nature, and it's not in accord with Scripture. Tony said this: I tend to avoid your videos where you feel compelled to somehow connect Scripture to your right-wing political views. Dude, this whole thing was started by Aaron Seamster, who doubted the work/reward system, which is in accord with Scripture, the work-reward system. And if by right-wing you're talking about common sense, free enterprise, and a system of work and reward that puts humans before government, then okay, then I'm a right-winger. But I hate that, and I'm not one, so don't call me one. All I said was that there is a political disposition called leftism in the world. It exists. Socialism, communism, leftism, big government, central planning, whatever you want to call it. And apparently, Tony is one of them because he objects to my, quote, right-wing politics. He objects to it. What does that tell you? He's into left-wing politics. He believes in big government. He thinks government is helpful. He thinks government should be given responsibility for taking care of people. He thinks people should trust government. He thinks the government should decide who is making too much money and then take it from them and give it to people who aren't making any money because they're not working hard. Oh, yes, we should take care of people who can't work. Yes, there should be a safety net system. Yes, 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 yes. But I'm talking about people who can work, who don't work, who milk the system, and the system exists and can be milked, can be built, can be abused. Big time. So I'm talking about free enterprise. Let people go. Let people free. I'm into freedom. Paul says, for freedom, Christ frees you. Freedom. See how my political disposition aligns with Scripture? I don't call that right wing. I call it freaking freedom. Freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from a political system telling me what to do. Running my life, telling me how much money I can make, where I'm supposed to set my thermostat, what car I have to drive, where I can get healthcare, where I'm not allowed to get healthcare. That's not freedom. I want to be as free as possible. And so I will support any politician, don't care what their name is, or what their party is, who believes in small government and keeping government out of the lives of people as much as possible. Pave the roads, make guns to protect us, and get the hell out of the way. Yeah. But this other thing, socialism, communism, central planning, big government, encourages victimhood and feeds grievance. Again, it promotes class envy, class warfare, hate the people. It's their fault that you are so downtrodden. It's not your fault. It's not the fact that you didn't work hard, not the fact that you have no initiative, not the fact that you would rather stay home and play video games all day. No. It's those successful people. We're going to go get them. If you vote for us, we'll take their money and give it to you. That's how they get votes. They prey on that. I hate that. It feeds grievance and punishes achievers. That's not right. It's not common sense. And the fatal conceit of socialism, the fatal conceit, and apparently Tony likes socialism. So again, a guy who has been freed from big religion, relying on big government, it's so inconsistent, I can't wrap my head around it. The fatal conceit of socialism is that it thinks it can and it should shape the world through central planning, like the European Union. A bunch of eggheads in Brussels think that they can make decisions for the rest of Europe. No. It's local government. If you're going to have government, you have local government. Because people in your area know your concerns, like eating honey from local bees. It's supposed to be better for you because they eat the flowers. They pollinate the flowers in your area, and they protect you from crap going through the air in your area. Somebody once told me when I was depressed years ago, they said, you need local honey. My response was, no, I need a local honey. But anyway, that's another topic altogether. But this conceit that is that people who live far away from you should decide how you live your life. It doesn't work. And this disposition is not found in the Word of God. What does the Word of God teach? Quote, as a man sows, thus also shall he be reaping. And this principle, sowing and reaping, was absolutely rejected by Aaron Seamster. I don't think Ashley thinks too much of it either, apparently. Both these people, I got nothing against them. I know Ashley. I don't know Aaron. I met Ashley at a conference, made a show with her. Wonderful woman. Great. Wonderful believer. But on this topic, I think maybe she learned this stuff in college. Most colleges these days teach socialism. They're re-education camps, you know, freeing your mind from individualism and tending to teach faith in government, which is, again, I can't understand that, how people who are free from big religion can then trust big government. Yeah. Galatians 6:7. Let me read this. Going to the scripture here. Be not deceived. God is not to be sneered at. This is Paul. This is our gospel. For whatsoever a man may be sowing, this shall he be reaping also. Well, unless he lives in a big government city, unless he lives in a socialist community, in which case he will be sowing, reaping, and then have his income taken away from him at exorbitant taxation rates. Why? So that the government can fund indolence. Here's Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Now, we may not be despondent in ideal doing. Ideal doing, this is grace guy, this is Paul, ideal doing good works. Why? Why should not we be despondent? Why should we not give up on doing ideal things? For in due season we shall be reaping if we do not faint. Carry smelling salts with you when you're doing your good works because you don't want to faint. Make sure you eat a good breakfast and have a candy bar in your pocket in case you start to feel faint. If you don't have smelling salts, I recommend Milky Way bars. But this is interesting, isn't it? Now, we may not be despondent in ideal doing. Why? For in due season, which is not today, it's in due season. It's in that day. It's at the days of Christ. In due season we shall be reaping. This corresponds perfectly with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about we're appearing at the days of Christ and we're rewarded for our wages, or some of our works are burned up. So that's why we shouldn't be despondent. But I don't know if you follow the teaching of Aaron Seamster in Volleyball Life, why do good works at all? Why? I mean, ideally you should do them just because the Spirit of God is in you. But Paul is actually giving you motivation here. In due season you shall be reaping. You sow and you reap. It's the agricultural law. In Israel, you had to be productive. You had to plant your crops to get food, or you starve. Paul also said, if a man is not willing to work, then neither shall he eat. This is our gospel of grace guy. Some people can't work. Yeah, and yes, the government should have a nice little program to take care of people who are invalids who can't work. I'm all for it. I'm not a cold, cruel person. But notice what Paul says. Those not willing to work. Not willing to work. They don't want to. And they just take advantage of the system. Paul says in verse 10, then consequently, then as we have occasion, we are working. Wow, we are? But Paul, we're saved by grace, not by works. This is not salvation. It's something stored up for the season of reaping. There's a due season where we will reap what we have sown. I'm looking forward to that. Because I've sown a lot of good work. I really feel great about what I've done. I feel fantastic about heralding the evangel. I feel fantastic about raising 3 boys and being a faithful husband. I feel fantastic about helping everyone I can, taking care of the homeless guy here in Fort Lauderdale. I love it. I'm not bragging about my works. God operates these works through me. And it's satisfying enough to me that Mike, my homeless guy who's been on the street for 20 years, he's happy. 3 days ago, he said, man, I really don't ask you for anything. And he doesn't. He doesn't ask me for anything. He said, I could really use a pair of shorts and some socks. So I got him a pair of shorts and socks. And my reward is that he was so happy and so excited about it, about a pair of socks. You heard the story, didn't you, when I was running at this intersection where there's a lot of homeless people, 17th Street and Federal Highway. This was several years ago, and I wear ratty socks. Like, I wear socks till they wear out, and they have holes in them and everything. And so I was standing there waiting for the light to turn, talking to these homeless guys. I love talking to these people. I feel like these are my people, you know? You never know when you'll be entertaining an angel unawares or an angel in his underwear. Either one, you never know. So I love talking to these guys and gals. And so I was standing there, and one guy looks down at my socks. He goes, Jesus Christ, what? Your socks look terrible. And he gave me, he goes, here, you need these. He reached in a little ratty backpack he had and took out a pair of socks and gave it to me. I was given socks by a homeless guy. That's how bad my socks are. Consequently, we are working for the good of all, yet especially for the family of faith. So I might say to Tony, and I will say, you must be the opposite of this, right? If you hate my right-wing politics, which I don't like to call it that, whatever. You must be left-wing. So you're a socialist. Yes, you trust government to know what's best for people? We should give a bureaucracy control over things like healthcare, over our food, over what we're allowed to watch on TV, how warm we're allowed to keep our homes, over what we can drive, how much gas we can buy, how often we can fly, how much money we're allowed to make, how much money we're allowed to keep. Tony, you can't be into all that, really, but it kind of seems like you are. I'm just reading this into the fact that you're offended by and you don't like videos where I talk about right-wing politics. But I'm just talking about what? Human nature, common sense, and scripture. Tony then says that there have been bad leftists, communists, as well as bad right-wing fascist governments. There have been bad communist governments? Really? What a surprise. I thought they were all bad. Name me a good communist government. Can you name a good one? Like, he seems to be defending it by saying there have been bad ones. I mean, communism's not all good, Martin. I didn't think it was good at all. I thought it sucked all the way through every time it's ever been tried. You have a good example? I'd like to hear it. Some of the more desirable places to live now are in Europe. What? which have democratic socialist governments and universal health care. Oh, I have a comment on this. If I don't run out of time, I have a comment on this. You can use scripture to try to demonstrate that God is anti-socialist or pro-socialist, whatever you want to fit into your narrative. It's not my narrative. It's human nature, common sense, and scripture. That's not a narrative. And it's like I'm trying to wedge my political view into my show. No, I never do that. I only talk about politics if it relates to a comment or a question or something about what God is doing. And here it does. We have two people vehemently objecting against sowing and reaping. They hate the idea of reaping. Hate it. They don't want to see it at the day of Christ. And to me, that's a political flaw. To me, it's just a hint that these people are leftist. And then so that started the whole thing. You can use scripture to try to demonstrate God is anti-socialist. No, God's a right winger, obviously. No, he's not. But God is a capitalist, and I can actually prove it from scripture, and I will if I have time. Your teachings are good enough to stand on their own without the need to try to connect them to your political views. I don't have a need to do that. I do it as opportunity presents itself and as I think it will be helpful to mention, which diminish your message and cast doubt on your motives. Cast doubt on my motives? Like, do you think I'm secretly trying to do a political show and I'm just using this God stuff as an excuse to talk about politics and get everybody to sign up for the Republican Party and vote for Trump? Is that what I'm doing here? How? Oh my God, I'm sorry, but I'm really disappointed that you don't know me well enough. As long as you've been watching this show, I think you have been watching, you doubt my motives? You think I'm trying to start a political revival or something? You think I'm trying to get people to vote Republican? My God, I'm just trying to get people to vote common sense, human nature, and scripture. Here's my motive. Let God be true, though every man a liar. That's my motive. God is work/reward. That's God's thing. In the circumcision evangel, it's required for Aeonian life. In our evangel, it's not. But it will produce fruit, as Paul says. I'll just stick to scriptural language. It will, in due season, produce reaping of fruit. That is, if we don't faint. Yeah, God is actually, in Matthew 20, I don't have time to go here, God is a reverse redistributionist. He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. That's the whole parable of the talents, is that God, you remember he gives the parable of the master that gives his servant so much money, paraphrasing, gives one guy 10 bucks, one guy 5 bucks, one guy a dollar. Then he goes away, and then they are productive with it. They are capitalistic with it. They are enterprising with it. Two of them are, anyway. They take, the guy with the 10 bucks takes it, and he turns it into 20 bucks because he's a freaking capitalist. He freaking makes money. He freaking comes up with some innovation, starts a business or whatever, wheels and deals, whatever he does. The guy who has a little less money, he does the same thing, so the principle is the same. The last guy who got the little bit, he was afraid to do anything, so he didn't even put it in the bank to get interest, which would have been another freaking capitalist strategy. No, instead he buried it in the ground because he was afraid of what the master would think. And the master came back and took away his one and gave it to the other guys. So the principle is God is a reverse redistributionist. I love that. My answer, again, is obviously my political views play less than a 1% role in my teaching. I only use it to illumine a truth or to make a point concerning something we're arguing about. And I don't feel compelled to connect things. I do it when it's necessary. I got much more to say. I wrote a long answer. I thought I was going to get through it today, but that's enough. I'm not going to read it. Let God be true. The human conscience be true. The human conscience is another way to say the Spirit of God dwells in us. And let that be our guide in all that we do.